present a seaside saga of post-war peer perpetuation written by Harold Snowd and Michael Knowles, starring John LeMessurier as Arthur Wilson, Ian Lavender as Frank Pike, and Bill Pertwee as Mr. Hodges in...
It Sticks Out Half a Mile!
The time, 1948. The place, the pier, Framborne-on-Sea, somewhere on the south coast.
Hello, is that Woodthorpe Builders? Oh, good. Could I speak to Mr. Woodthorpe, please? Pardon? Oh, yes. He came to see me and my partner the other day about giving us an estimate for filling in the gap in our pier. No, pier, not weir. Thank you. Yes, my name's Pike. No, Pike, not Dyke. Pike, like the beef eaters have. You're what? Vegetarian? What's that got to do with it? Yes, I'll hang on.
Stupid woman.
Morning, Frank.
Oh, morning, Bert. Won't be a minute.
Not wasting our money again on personal calls, are you?
No, of course not. I'm ringing Woodthorpe's to get their estimate. Oh, Mr. Woodthorpe. Yes, you asked us to ring this morning about the estimate. Yes, that's the one. £700?
Ask him if that's the most it could be.
Oh, right, yeah. Is that the most it could be? It's the minimum. Well, I'm afraid we'll have to think about that. Yes, we'll be in touch. Oh, by the way, Mr. Woodthorpe, as one businessman to another, that girl on your switchboard's really useless. If you take my advice, you'll get rid of her as quickly as possible. Pardon? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realise she was your wife.
£700, eh?
Yeah, and that's the third estimate we've had around that sort of figure. We'll just have to get the money from somewhere, but I'm blowed if I know where or how.
Well, I have one idea.
Yeah?
Which might work. Now, listen to this.
Oh, come in.
Excuse me, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, it's you, Miss Perkins.
I'm not interrupting your train of thought, am I?
Oh, no. To be perfectly honest, I was miles away. My train of thought was in a siding, as it were.
Yes, oh, right, oh, that's right. Very funny, Mr. Wilson. Worthy of Oscar Wilde.
Well, thank you. Be that as it may. What was it you wanted, Miss Perkins?
What I'm always after at this time of the day.
I beg your pardon?
The letters I did for you. That is, if you've signed them.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Yes, well, here you are. Oh,
thank you. Oh, and by the way, would this be a convenient moment to talk about tomorrow?
Oh, yes, of course. We must talk about tomorrow. What about tomorrow?
Well, you know, Mr. Pike and Mr. Hodges asked that you and I should meet them on the pier at 2:00.
Oh, yes, I'd forgotten all about that.
Oh, well, that's quite understandable. After all, you've got all sorts of other things to worry about, haven't you?
Yes, that's very true. What sort of other things?
Well, you know, running the bank, looking after the customers and the well-being of the staff. The way you run this branch is an example to us all.
Well, I'm not sure if the area inspector would necessarily agree with you.
Why ever not?
Well, he seems less enthusiastic about my having lent Frank and that awful greengrocer fellow the money to purchase the pier.
Oh, don't worry. He'll feel differently when it reopens and he sees how well it's going.
Yes, but you see, the trouble is, in order to get the pier back on its feet, they're going to need more money, and I'm not sure I ought to stick my neck out and lend it to them.
Oh, dear. How difficult.
You see, Hodges rang me only yesterday and wanted to borrow another £700 to cover the cost of replacing the missing section.
Oh, poor Mr. Wilson, you really shouldn't have all these problems. It's just not fair. Before you know where you are, you'll have little worry lines all over your forehead.
Yeah, well, I've got them already. Anyway, but I don't think it'll come to that.
Oh, I do hope not. You've got such a lovely forehead.
Oh.
Of course, it would be such a shame if they weren't able to continue with their plans.
Yes.
Anyway, you must do what you think is best. There are times in life when you just have to say no.
Yes, indeed.
And other times, of course, when one must throw caution to the winds and be guided by one's baser instincts.
Don't you mean basic instincts?
I suppose I do.
Yes, well, anyway, about tomorrow. What were you going to say?
Well, I've been thinking, as they've asked us both to go down to the pier, why don't we go together?
Together?
Yes. After all, we shall be working here until the bank closes at noon. And by the time we've cleared up, it won't really be worth either of us going home before going down to the pier, will it?
Well, it's not awfully convenient. I shall have to get a spot of lunch.
Oh, well, I thought I could make us up a little picnic and we could have it here, in your office, before we set off.
Oh, really? Well, that would be very, very pleasant.
Oh, you're not averse to anything, are you?
Well, how do you mean?
Or egg or cheese or anything.
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, no.
Good. Well, that's a date, then. What fun. Don't worry. I shan't tell the other staff. It'll be our little secret.
I wonder if it's too late to catch flu.
Ah, there you are, Arthur. I was beginning to think you'd forgotten.
Oh, I'm sorry we're late. We got delayed.
Mr. Wilson had a bit of trouble with one of his teeth.
Oh, yeah? In what way?
It fell out.
Please, Miss Perkins, I'm sure Mr. Hodges...
Look, why don't you call me Bert?
What? Oh, very well, then. I'm sure Bert isn't remotely interested in how I came to lose a tooth.
Oh, but I am very interested.
Well, Mr. Wilson and I were having a little picnic together at the bank.
Really? How cosy.
Yes, it was. Very pleasant. Wasn't it, Mr. Wilson?
Oh, yes, lovely.
Anyway, he suddenly broke his tooth. Unfortunately, whilst he was eating one of my sausage rolls.
Yeah. I'm sure that was merely a coincidence.
Oh, possibly. But to be on the safe side when we get going, we better not put her in charge of catering, eh?
Oh, Mr. Hodges, you are a one. Isn't he, Mr. Wilson?
Oh, yes, he is indeed. Very definitely. Hello, Aunt Clartha.
Afternoon, Miss Perkins.
I'm Frank.
Good afternoon, Mr. Pike.
May I ask why the two of you wanted Miss Perkins and I down here this afternoon?
Oh, yes. Well, you see, the thing is, there's still one place here that we haven't been able to have a look at, and that's the theatre.
Because of the 40-foot gap between this part of the pier and the theatre bit.
Exactly. Somehow I thought I must get over to the other side, and then suddenly I got the answer.
You're not going to try walking on the water.
We've been in touch with the local scouts, and they've rigged up a bosun's chair between the two halves.
Oh, what a good idea, isn't it, Mr. Wilson?
Yes, it is, most ingenious.
And this afternoon, Frank and me are going over to the theatre in that bosun's chair.
Oh, I see. And you've invited me down to watch?
No, we want you to go over with us.
Oh, I see. What? Why?
Well, for a start, if you haven't seen for yourself what needs doing over there, you're not likely to be very helpful when we ask you to lend us more of the bank's money.
Yes, but I told you I couldn't grant you a further loan when you phoned me on Wednesday.
Yeah, I know. I'm only joking. The thing is, we'd like your opinion.
And yours, Miss Perkins.
Oh, can I go over as well?
That was the idea, yes. We thought you could take notes for us in shorthand.
Oh, yes, of course.
Anyway, why don't we all walk up to where the gap is and have a look?
Oh, yes, do let's. Come on, Mr. Wilson.
All right. Look, Frank.
What is it, Uncle Arthur?
Well, I'm not sure I really fancy this bosun's chair thing. I don't see myself as a sort of daredevil Errol Flynn type.
Don't be silly. Miss Perkins is going over. You wouldn't want to be beaten by a woman, would you?
I just might be prepared to make an exception in that case.
Oh, look, there are the scouts.
And the bosun's chair, all ready for us.
It doesn't look awfully safe.
Rubbish, safe as houses. Now, Frank, which one of these lads is in charge?
This one here.
Oh, right. Now, son, my name is Mr. Rogers, and I'm the co-owner of Framborne Pier. And at one time, I used to be a big noise in the Warmington ARP.
My name is Derek, sir, and I'm leader of the Grey Fox Patrol, 1st Framborne Scouts. And I used to be a 6th and a 3rd Hastings Cubs.
Very good. Now, Derek, my friend here, Mr. Wilson, has volunteered to go first.
I did no such thing.
You go first, or I'll tell Mum.
Oh, very good. All right. Anything for a quiet life.
How does he use his contraption, Derek?
If he just sits in the chair, sir, and hangs on, we'll do the rest.
See, Uncle Arthur, there's nothing to it. Now, come on, in you get, come on, quick, shot.
All right, Frank, all right, don't push, come on. Heaven's sake.
You ready, Arthur?
Yes, as ready as I ever shall be.
Don't worry, Mr. Wilson, I'll be right behind you.
That's very comforting.
Okay, Derek, take him away.
Yes, sir. Hang on tight, Mr. Wilson.
I fully intend to.
Grey Fox Patrol, One, two, three, heave!
Oh, good Lord.
Hold on, Mr. Wilson. Oh, look, he's almost there.
Hold it, lads.
You all right, Uncle Arthur?
Just about.
Right, bring the chair back this side, lads.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Miss Perkins, your turn.
Oh, isn't this fun? I'll be with you in a moment, Mr. Wilson.
There's no rush.
Now, hang on, Miss Perkins. Off you go, Derek.
Grey Fox Patrol. One, two, three, heave!
Ooh! I'm coming, Mr. Wilson! I'm coming! Oh, I am enjoying this!
Well done, Derek.
You all right, Miss Perkins?
Yes, I'm fine, thanks. Isn't this fun, Mr. Wilson?
Oh, yes. A load of laughs.
Isn't it odd with the sea all round us? It's like being marooned together on a desert island, isn't it?
Yes, I suppose it is. Yes.
Okay, Pikey, take it away.
No such luck. Here comes the first of our chaperones.
Oh, good. Good. I'm looking forward to seeing her at the theatre. It should be interesting.
Here we go, then, folks. Just let me unlock this door. Here. That's a bit naughty. It's not locked.
Over the 40-foot gap in the pier, there's not much chance of burglars.
Oh, yeah, but suppose the Germans had invaded?
They'd have been able to get into the theatre and maybe disguise themselves in some old costumes.
Oh, really, Frank? That's hardly very likely.
It might have happened, just because you haven't got any imagination.
Well, of course I have. It just doesn't extend to invading Germans occupying Woolworths dressed up as the chorus from The Maid of the Mountains.
Isn't it, Mr. Hodges?
Hysterical. Let's go inside.
Oh, it's dark, isn't it?
Well, there are no windows at this end and the lights aren't working.
Oh, well, that's probably something to do with it.
We could get lost in here, Mr. Wilson.
No, it's all right. I've brought a torch.
Oh, how thoughtful.
There we are.
Ah, that's much better.
It's truth. Look at that. How's he storing old scenery in the foyer?
Well, whereabouts?
Right in front of you. That shed thing. It's obviously part of some old shanty town setting.
That's the box office.
Are you sure, Uncle Arthur?
I'm positive, you see. If you look behind, there's some tickets.
Oh, he's right, Mr. Pike. There's a book here of 1 and 6 pennies.
Blimey. We'll certainly have to up those prices when we open. Right, come on. Let's have a look inside where the people sit.
The auditorium.
Yeah, well, we'll have a look at that as well.
Quite large, isn't it?
According to some old papers we found the other day, it seats 580.
On about 150 seats, by the look of it.
Oh, yes, see what you mean. There are a lot missing.
Still, nothing that a few hundred quid won't fix, eh, Arthur?
Yes, well, don't look at me. I've already said I can't possibly authorise another loan. I'm awfully sorry, but there it is.
I'm awfully sorry, but there it is.
That's not fair, Bert. You mustn't mock Uncle Arthur. It's not his fault.
Of course it isn't. Mr. Wilson just happens to be a man of strong principles. He doesn't give in easily.
Well, you should know.
Come on now, let's walk down the aisle.
Oh, yes, please. Do let's.
I'll lead. I've got the torch.
Right, okay. Off you go. What's so funny, Miss Perkins?
Well, walking down the aisle with that torch looks just like an usherette.
Well, he might as well get some practice. He may have to do it if they can't afford any staff.
Oh, very funny.
It's quite smart, isn't it?
Oh, I don't know. It's just an ordinary torch from Timothy White's.
Oh, I'm talking about this red carpet in the stalls.
Oh, I see. Hey, that's funny. Look. It stops short 4 feet in front of the stage.
Oh, yes. There's just bare boards and a little sort of fence thing between the two. I wonder why.
Perhaps they used to keep rabbits.
I think you'll find that's the orchestra pit.
Oh, yes, of course. Silly of me.
Oh, I can see it now. A bunch of singers and dancers performing away up there to the strains of the orchestra down here. You can just imagine it, can't you, Arthur?
Not awfully easily, no.
I wonder how many musicians you could get in this orchestra pit.
Well, I'd put all thoughts of the Royal Philharmonic out of your mind.
I'd think about six.
Yeah, providing they were good friends.
Mrs. Briggs told me that she came here just before the war and saw Myra Hess.
Blimey, oh, she wasn't a relation of that Nazi bloke, Rudolph.
No. Myra Hess is a concert pianist.
Oh, like Charlie Coons.
By the look of that hole in the stage, I think the weight of her grand piano must have proved too much for it.
Yeah, we'll have to get that fixed.
No, it might come in handy just as it is for the Enchanted Grotto in Mother Goose.
Oh, is that the scene where Mother Goose gets her last wish granted and goes into the pool to be made beautiful?
That's right. And then when she is beautiful, nobody loves her anymore.
Yes. That's what put me off the idea of going to health and beauty classes.
Don't be silly, Miss Perkins. You've got nothing to worry about, has she, Arthur?
Not as far as I'm concerned.
Well, here you are, Miss Perkins. Mr. Wilson finds you fatally attractive.
Oh, Mr. Wilson.
Yes, well, I didn't exactly...
I'll tell Mum.
Do be quiet, Frank.
Well, I reckon we've seen all we need. I told the scouts we'd only be about 10 minutes, so we'd better be getting back.
Yes, all right.
Did you make a note of everything that needs doing, Miss Perkins?
Yes, I've got it all down. Rather a lot, I'm afraid.
Well, it's only a matter of getting some more money together.
Oh, Lord. You're not going to make any more sarcastic remarks, are you?
Oh, now would I do a thing like that. Right, let's get some fresh air.
Oh, that's better. I find it rather musty in there.
Yeah, well, after all, it's been closed for nearly... Hey, that's funny.
What is?
The scouts have disappeared.
Oh, Lord, yes, you're right.
Perhaps they've just gone for a cup of tea.
Oh, shouldn't think so. Anyway, there's nowhere around here to have a cup of tea.
Perhaps they're just sheltering somewhere, away from the sea breezes.
Yes, that's it. I expect their little knees get cold in those shorts.
Well, we can't just stand here waiting.
Why don't we try shouting?
Good idea. Right, all together.
What exactly are we going to shout?
Well, what's it matter?
Well, I just thought perhaps we all ought to shout the same thing. I mean... It might be sort of neater.
Oh, blimey. We're trying to attract attention, not form a choir. Just shout. Right, after three. One, two, three.
Help! Anyone there?
Come back!
Hang on a second. Just a minute. What are you shouting, Miss Perkins?
Cooey!
Well, that's not exactly going to raise the dead, is it?
Can you manage something with a bit more oomph?
I'll try.
And while you're at it, make it a bit louder. Imagine you're being attacked. Imagine Arthur's gone mad with lust and thrown you to the ground.
Ooh, I wouldn't shout at all then.
I'm definitely going to tell Mum.
Oh, do be quiet, Frank.
Look, stop nattering, you two. Come on, here we go. Right. One, two, three. I don't think there's anyone there.
That's probably why they can't hear us.
What are we going to do?
Hang on. I think I may have the answer. My brain's just working it out.
We can't wait that long.
Yes, it might work.
What might work?
Well, if I stand on this chair thing...
Yeah?
Right, instead of sitting in it, I should be able to reach up and grab the pulley.
And then you could slowly work the pulley along the rope to the other side, taking you and the chair with it.
Do you mind, Frank? It's my idea.
Sorry, Bert.
Right, here we go.
Are you sure you know what you're doing?
We'll soon find out.
Oh, look! He's moving! He's moving!
Yes, I can see that, thank you.
Oh, it's going to work! I know it is!
Yes, all right, Miss Perkins, all right, just calm down.
But he's halfway across!
Yes, I know, it's awfully good, but there's no need to get carried away.
Oh, go on, Mr. Hodges. You can do it.
Can I slap a face, please, Uncle Arthur? Well,
no,
can I?
Of course not, no. Well, not yet, anyway.
Hooray! He's made it! Phew! Aren't you relieved?
Yes, awfully relieved. I couldn't have stood much more of you going on like that.
Oh, look, the chair's coming back.
If one of you gets in, I'll pull you across.
Oh, look. There are dirty marks all over the seat where Bert stood on it. I'd better go first, otherwise you'll get your clothes all dirty.
That's very thoughtful of you.
Okay, Bert, take it away.
Righto, hang on.
We shan't be stuck out here much longer now, Miss Perkins.
That's just what I was thinking.
All right, Frank's all right. Our turn now. That's funny. Why isn't the chair coming back?
Arthur!
Yes, what is it?
There's something gone wrong here.
But what do you mean?
The rope's got stuck down the side of the pulley. We can't shift it.
Well, go and get some help.
Where from?
I don't know. Stop someone in the street.
A little old lady isn't going to be much help.
Not unless she used to be a bosun.
Well, you've got to do something. Miss Perkins and I can't stay out here. It's getting dark.
Oh, now you come to mention it, Mr. Wilson. It is getting dark.
Yes, well, it's no laughing matter, Miss Perkins. The two of us could be marooned here all night.
So we could.
Now, Frank and Bert, you've got to do something. You must.
We're trying, but it's definitely jammed.
If we only had the money to replace this section, we wouldn't have to use a motion chair at all.
Now, we've been through all that, and the answer's no. Now, come on, do something.
It would only take another 1,000 to do most of the more urgent things. Come on, Uncle Arthur, be a pal.
I'm sorry, Frank, but it's quite impossible.
Oh, what a pity. This pulley's getting more jammed every minute.
Oh, Mr. Wilson, I think they're trying to bribe you.
Thank you, Miss Perkins. I had rather guessed that myself.
Don't you give in to them, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, don't worry. I'm not going to.
I say, Uncle Arthur.
Have you thought of something?
Yes.
But what is it?
Getting cold, isn't it?
Really? Those damn Boy Scouts.
Only another 1,000, Arthur.
Mr. Wilson's not going to give in. Are you, Mr. Wilson?
No, I'm not.
You stand by your principles.
I fully intend to.
If we get cold, we can go back into the theatre.
Yes, that's true. I hadn't thought of that. If we get cold, we can always shelter in the theatre.
Suit yourself.
Anyway, if we do have to spend the night together in the theatre, does it really matter?
No, 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 no. Of course it doesn't.
It'll be dark, of course, because Mr. Pike's got the torch.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. So he has.
It could be worse, though, couldn't it?
Could it?
After all, if it gets really cold, you could be my St. Bernard.
I beg your pardon?
I mean, we could snuggle up tight together and keep warm that way.
Yes, of course, yes, that's true.
The temperature's really dropping, isn't it?
Yes, it is, isn't it? Frank?
Did you call?
Yes. Perhaps I was a bit hasty. How much did you want to borrow?
Only another 2,000.
Don't give in to them, Mr. Wilson. Don't give in, please.
I have your reputation to consider.
I don't mind. Really, I don't.
Well, it wouldn't be fair to put you in that position.
Which position?
What's going on?
All right, all right, all right. You win. You can have your money.
Oh, thanks, Uncle Arthur.
I thought you might change your mind.
Now, can you go and get some help?
Yeah, okay. Don't go away. Hang on a minute. Hang on. Frank's managed to free the pulley.
Somehow, I had a feeling he might.
Come on, Miss Perkins. Pull, Arthur!
Oh, I am pulling.
Steady, Miss Perkins. You're nearly there. Grab her, Uncle Arthur.
If it's all the same to you, I'll hang on to the rope and you grab her.
Come on, Miss Perkins. Hold on to my hand.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Pike.
Here we are. Come on.
Oh.
There.
Oh, that's better.
Miss Perkins, I'm sorry about you getting caught up in all this.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Hodges. It's Mr. Wilson I can't understand.
I thought you like a man to have principles.
Yes, but not that many.
I'm sorry, Miss Perkins. It was nothing personal. I just began to feel awfully hungry.
Yes, so did I.
Well, look, as it really is getting rather cold, why don't we go and have a fish and chip supper, eh?
Ah, I don't really know whether I should.
Oh, well, if you don't want to.
All right, you talk me into it.
Would you two care to join us?
Oh, yes, well, thanks. I'll tell you what, as you've agreed to lend us another 3,000...
I thought you said 2,000.
No, it was 3. You probably didn't hear very well because of the wind. Anyway, as you so readily agreed, we'll pay for the fish and chips.
That's very generous of you.
I'll see you in a minute. I've got to collect some papers from the office.
Oh, yes, of course. Don't be long. Right, come on, Arthur, and you, Miss Perkins.
Coming, Mr. Hodges.
I'll catch you all up. There you are, Derek. I was wondering where you'd got to.
Have you finished, Mr. Pike?
Yeah, we're off now. You can dismantle the bosun's chair tomorrow. We'll be able to start work replacing the missing bit within a few days now.
That's good news, sir.
Yes, very exciting. Oh, and there's the pound we promised you for rigging up the chair.
Thank you, sir.
And there's the £5 for getting rid of all the lads just as we planned.
Oh, thank you, sir.
You've been listening to It Sticks Out Half a Mile, starring John LeMessurier as Arthur Wilson, Ian Lavender as Frank Pike, and Bill Pertwee as Mr. Hodges, whose characters were originally created by Jimmy Perry and David Croft. Also in the cast were Vivian Martin as Miss Perkins and Paul Russell as Derek. It Sticks Out Half a Mile was written by Harold Snowd and Michael Knowles and produced by Martin Fisher.